All right. Well, hey, if you are new with us today, welcome. It's just been a great weekend with the Next Gen Retreat, and I got to participate a little bit yesterday. I got to share a little bit of my story of following Jesus, and then they really put me through the ringer. For about an hour and a half, I had to do a Q&A session. They put me on the hot seat, and let me say, students, you asked some good questions, all right? I was very impressed with that, and it was a lot of fun to be there. Well, hey, we begin a new series that we've entitled Find and Follow, and the reason that we are in this series is because as a church, we want to help you find and follow Jesus, and then in turn, as you are following Jesus yourself, that you are helping other people find and follow Jesus. So as a church, this is what we are about. Now, this isn't just us coming up with this. No, this is taken from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 28, what is known as the Great Commission. And we find this from the lips of Jesus. He says this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" And the way that we summarize that as a church is to help you find and follow Jesus. This is a statement we say in some capacity almost every week with the video, in the sermon, in different conversations that we have. Now, when it comes to helping you find and follow Jesus, a good tool to use is what we call the spiritual engagement journey. And I would encourage you to look at the screen. And I kind of want to walk through this a little bit, all right? And touch on each of these different phases. So if you go to the far left, this is what is called the not interested phase. Now, frankly, those who are not interested are probably not here. Now, why? Well, they're not interested, all right? Now, if you find yourself here and you're not really wanting to be here, I want to welcome you. We appreciate you being here. But when somebody moves from not interested to spiritually curious, what often happens is they become known in some type of way. Maybe they come to a church service. Maybe they attended some type of event. Maybe they filled out that card and gave us a little bit of information about themselves. And so when they are known, they move to that spiritually curious phase. And this is individuals who are curious, that is interested. They are pursuing faith questions. And so they have questions about Jesus. They may have questions about what it means to become a Christian. Now, continuing as we move on the spiritual engagement journey, when a person moves from spiritually curious to a believer, what has taken place is they've made that decision to follow Jesus. That is those that celebrated baptism a few moments ago. They were an unbeliever. They did not believe in Jesus, but then they crossed that line of faith and they put their trust in Jesus. The language that the Bible often uses is that a person repents. All that word means is to turn, that you're going this way, away from the Lord, but you turn, you repent, and you believe in who Jesus is and what he's done for you. And what he did for us, right, and who he is, he's the Son of God, right, God in the flesh. And he lived among us, and he lived a perfect, sinless life, and he went to the cross, and as our substitute, he died for you. He died for me, and then he was raised from the dead. He lives today. And when a person puts their trust or their reliance, not on what they can do, not on what they can earn, but on what Jesus has done for them, when they repent and believe, they are saved. And really, that next step for that person is to be baptized, and that's what we're going to look at next week. Now, as we continue on this journey, when somebody moves from a believer to a follower, what we mean is this, that person is taking ownership of their faith. And maybe you're here right now, or maybe this has been you in the past where, yes, I believe in Jesus, but you feel kind of stuck. You're not really growing in your faith. And to be stuck is no good. And so we want to pursue the Lord. We want to follow after him. And so that might be getting more engaged in reading your Bible or attending church or praying. But it also means this. If you feel stuck today, one of the ways that you can get unstuck is by helping other people find and follow Jesus. I know it can be nerve-wracking, right? I know there takes some boldness in that. I felt that and all those emotions too. But when you take that step to help somebody find and follow Jesus, it really can just increase your trust in Jesus and really kind of get you to move out of that stuck phase that you might be in. And so as we've gone through this spiritual engagement journey, I would ask, where do you find yourself? Are you spiritually curious? Maybe you're a believer, but you know you need to get a little more going, you know, some things going in your faith. And maybe for you, you're kind of on fire for the Lord. You're sharing about Jesus. And so again, where are you at, right? Can you identify where you're at on the spiritual engagement journey? And so what we're going to do for the next 6 weeks is we're going to be looking at some of these different phases and how you can keep moving along in this journey. And today we begin with those in that spiritually curious phase. Now, if this is not you, I don't want you to check out. Okay, if this is not you, you're a believer, you're a follower. What I encourage you to do is to think back, to recall when you were spiritually curious, when you were interested in the things of Jesus and of Christianity. What was that like for you? But also for you, if you don't find yourself in that spiritually curious phase, you know people who are. We often refer to it around here as those in your circle of influence. It's your family members, friends, coworkers, teenagers. It's some of your friends and classmates. It's maybe your neighbors. And some of them are spiritually curious. They have some faith questions. And so I would ask that you be sensitive to that, right? To be thinking through some of those people and how you can be praying for them, how maybe you can share your story of following the Lord Jesus. And so again, we're going to be looking at those in that spiritually curious phase today. And we're going to be looking in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 19. And so if you have your Bible, I would encourage you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. So there's four Gospels in our Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 19, okay? Luke chapter 19. And what we find is this fascinating story of this encounter that Jesus has with someone in that spiritually curious phase, a man by the name of Zacchaeus. And maybe you've heard of this guy before. Maybe you have sang that song about Zacchaeus being a wee little man, right? Anybody sang that song as a kid? Yeah, there you go. My family asked me, hey, what are you preaching on tomorrow? I said, Zacchaeus. And we all just kind of broke out in that song. And if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, YouTube it, pull it up, and it will be in your head forever. All right, it will not leave. But there's more to this story than just that catchy song. This is a guy who is seeking after Jesus. Right? He is interested in Jesus. But what we're going to find is Jesus is also seeking after him. Jesus wants Zacchaeus to move from spiritually curious to a believer and follower of him. And so we're going to work our way through verses 1 through 10. I'll make some comments as we go, and then we're going to consider three key takeaways from this really fascinating passage. Look with me at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. In verse 2, we are introduced to this man, Zacchaeus, and we are told that he is a chief tax collector. In Israel at that time, there were three places where taxes were collected, and that's Capernaum, that's Jerusalem, and Jericho. And Zacchaeus, being a chief tax collector, he was in charge of collecting taxes in Jericho. And given Jericho's location, there was a lot of traffic that went through there, and so he became very wealthy as he collected these taxes. And no doubt he worked hard, but this was not just from him working hard. See that the way that tax collecting worked at that time is that the Romans who occupied this area, they would not put a Roman official in charge, right? That Roman official, they wouldn't know the area. They wouldn't know how people would maybe try to maneuver around paying taxes. So instead, they would hire locals, people that knew the area, people that knew all the different ways that you could maybe skirt paying taxes. And so they would hire local Jewish men to do the dirty work. And the Romans, what they would do is indicate how much in taxes they want to collect it. So I'm not exactly sure the percentage, but let's just say it was 20%. And so Zacchaeus, being in charge of this area, he would have to collect at least 20%. But the Romans did something very interesting. They turned it over to that tax collector and really gave them quite a bit of flexibility. And so they could bump up their percentage. And so Zacchaeus, for example, could maybe bump it up to 40%. and he would collect that from somebody. He would give 20% to the Romans, and he would keep the other 20%. And because of this, he became extremely wealthy, extremely wealthy. Now, taxes are bad enough. Nobody likes taxes. I just submitted mine a few weeks ago, and I was looking at my W-2, and I'm like, oh, this is painful. Anybody else feel that, right? We're in tax season here. And, you know, taxes, again, bad enough. But when you're being taken advantage of, you think you're being ripped off, it's even worse. And so Zacchaeus, being the chief tax collector, oversaw all of this. He had all sorts of different people reporting to him. And so people knew who he was, and they hated him. All right, they knew he was taking advantage of them, and so they could not stand this guy. This is why we're told when Jesus enters Jericho, Zacchaeus, who is short, right? He's a wee little man. I mean, Zacchaeus is like Kevin Hart, Danny DeVito, all right? I mean, he's a short guy here. Isn't it amazing how short so many celebrities are? But anyway, this is Zacchaeus. Now, to be short in this culture was really something. Many commentators say that he was under 5 foot tall. All right, that's a short guy. And so he climbs the tree, not just because he is short, but because people don't like him. I mean, if somebody's shorter than you is standing there, it's no big deal, right? You can see over the top of him. But what has taken place because this guy is hated is he's been shoved out of the way. People want nothing to do with him. And so he has to climb this sycamore tree, which, let's be honest, to climb a tree as an adult, unless you're, you know, it's deer season, it's a little bit embarrassing, right? I mean, if you're a kid, it's like, look how much fun they're having. Oh, isn't that cute? But if it's an adult male, you're like, you okay, man? You know, everything doing all right? You doing all right? And so this guy, he had to be embarrassed. He's wealthy, right? So he climbs up in this tree. But Zacchaeus did not care about that embarrassment. And the reason he did not care is because, as it says in verse 3, he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Now, here's the question. Why? Why was he seeking to see Jesus? Maybe it's because he had heard about Jesus, heard about the miracles, heard about his teaching, and he was just interested to see what everyone was talking about. Maybe he had heard about Jesus from his tax-collecting friend, Matthew. Right? These tax collectors are hated, so they no doubt got together. And Matthew's life had been changed. He was a tax collector, right? He was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. And so maybe they had a conversation about Jesus. And all those reasons may be correct, but I think the driving factor for Zacchaeus seeking after Jesus is because his life was missing something. Here's a wealthy guy. He could buy anything he wanted, but yet something was missing. His life was unsatisfied. His life, as he viewed it, did not have this lasting significance. There was something missing. There was something restless in his soul. Now, let me ask you, if you are in that spiritually curious phase, what is causing you to seek Jesus? Or if you're a follower of Jesus, reflecting back, when you were in that spiritually curious phase, what caused you to seek after Jesus? For you, maybe it was that you heard about Jesus and you weren't really sure about Christianity and all that stuff, and so you wanted to check it out. Maybe you had a friend become a believer and you saw some real changes in their life and that kind of sparked some curiosity. Maybe for you, you have the good career, the good family, but something still seems off. You're restless. Teenagers, maybe everything at school is great. You're in sports and different activities. Everything is going the way you want, but something still seems off. Something is missing, and that is causing you to be curious. Is there more? Who is this Jesus? And so Zacchaeus was curious. He was seeking because something was missing in his life. Well, let's continue moving forward in this story. Look with me at verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." They didn't like this. So here is a little man, Zac. He's up in this tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. You know, and something Zacchaeus was not expecting takes place. Jesus pushes his way through this large crowd and he finds Zacchaeus and he looks him right in the eye and he says, "Hey, get down from that tree. I'm coming over to your house for dinner. Right? This was very unexpected. Right? He did not think this would take place. Now, it's been a little bit for me and my wife. We got married like 20 years ago. And so we got married right out of college. And she had a friend who not too long after we had gotten married was getting married. And let me say this. I think marriages are great. Hey, have fun at your wedding, but I don't really like going to weddings, all right? You know, it's just one of those things you have to do. But for this one, I was excited. And the reason I was excited is because her friend was related to David Cone. Now, if you don't know David Cone, come on, you got to know who this guy is, right? He was a major league pitcher. He was a Cy Young winner, former Royal All-Star. I mean, just a very impressive athlete. And so I was excited to go to this wedding. And as it was about to start, I was seeking after David Cone, but he was nowhere to be found. I kept looking all over the place. And then as the wedding is beginning, and I'm standing there looking at the front, here he comes. He's right behind me, and I look over. There he is. It was amazing. I was like, stop the wedding. I got to talk to this guy. But no, I didn't do that. But imagine if he would have tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, Jason, nice to meet you. I'm going to come to your house later tonight. I would have been shocked at that. I might have been like, I guess. I don't think it's going to be, you know, quite what you expect. All right, we just got married as a starter home. But anyway, you know, imagine if he tapped me on the shoulder and did that. Well, this is kind of like what happened to Zacchaeus. He wanted to just see this guy, maybe talk to him a little bit. But now Jesus is coming to his house, and he is pumped up. Look with me at verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus had begun his day just wanting to get a glimpse of Jesus. But he got so much more than he expected. His life had been transformed. Now, when it speaks of Zacchaeus giving half his possessions away and four times the amount to those he's cheated, the point is not that when you become a Christian, you have to give all your money away. The point is this. For Zacchaeus, who had cheated people, exploited people to become wealthy, for him, the way that he was revealing his life had been changed, that he had crossed that line of faith, was for him to be generous. For Zacchaeus, in this demonstration of generosity, of making things right, he was showing that he had placed his trust in Jesus. Again, his life had been transformed. He went from spiritually curious to now a believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as we consider this story of Zacchaeus and those in that spiritually curious phase on the spiritual engagement journey, I want us to consider three key takeaways. The first is this. If you find yourself in that spiritually curious phase, keep seeking Jesus. One of the features of this encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus is how many barriers were put in front of Zacchaeus. Right? The crowd did not like him, so they pushed him out of the way. He had to climb this tree, right? That's embarrassing. And no doubt, I think one of the driving factors of him wanting to see Jesus is he reflected on his past, right? He was guilty. He had guilt. He had shame of how he had treated people. And so I think if we would kind of categorize, you know, those different barriers that Zacchaeus faced, I think we could put them in three categories. One, relationships. The other, embarrassment, and then past experiences. And so again, he was having to fight with relationships with people. He was having to do embarrassing things. He was reflecting on his past. And if you are in that spiritually curious phase, can you relate to any of these categories? Maybe for you, you've been seeking after Jesus, right? You've been curious, and you've been sharing this with some of your family members, and they've been kind of pushing back. They've not all been that supportive. And that can be a real hindrance for you to continue to seek after Jesus, right? They just don't understand. And so you don't want to maybe upset your mom or your dad or your friend, right? There can also be embarrassment. as a pastor, I hear this fairly often, is somebody sharing their story of kind of following the Lord, or they're interested, and you kind of press them a little bit, and then they just say, you know, I just don't know very much. They're kind of embarrassed. I don't know much about Jesus. I don't know much about the Bible. And it can be a barrier for them to continue to pursue after Jesus. But if you don't understand everything, that's okay. I mean, we're all on our own journey. We all have different levels of knowledge about who Jesus is. And so I would say, if you feel embarrassed about what you don't know, or you think you should know more, continue to seek after Christ. Don't let any type of embarrassment keep you from following and going after him. Also, I think past experiences can be a real barrier to many of us. Right, this guy, I mean, he had a checkered past. He had done some bad things. And for you right now, you may be reflecting on some things you've done, or maybe some things that have been done to you, and you think you're disqualified from God loving you. You think that maybe you're disqualified from God's grace. But this man, again, had this very checkered past. But the Lord was pursuing him, and the Lord Jesus forgave this man. Right? He forgave his mistakes, and the same can be for you. And so my encouragement to you, if you are in that spiritually curious stage, do whatever it takes to seek Jesus and continue to seek after him, even if there are different barriers, whether it's relationships or embarrassment or your past, continue to pursue the Lord. Number two is this: as followers of Jesus, let us have a heart for those that are spiritually curious, just like Jesus did. We're told at the conclusion of the story in verse 10, and it's really summarizing what took place, is that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Now, what I find so interesting is Zacchaeus had all these different barriers placed before him, but so did Jesus. I mean, Jesus is seeking after this guy, but the crowd is there. I mean, Jesus' popularity at this time was at its height. And so Jesus, had to push through the crowd. And even when Zacchaeus invites Jesus over to his home, we're told that the people don't like this. They grumble and they complain about this. But Jesus was on a mission to find this guy. And we need to have the same heart. Let us not be a hindrance in those that are spiritually curious. Let us be a church that continues to help those that are in that phase, to point them to Jesus. Let us continue to be a church that creates an environment that welcomes them in, that we build relationships with people that are curious about Jesus. Right? When they ask us questions, let us be prepared and let us be praying for them. Again, think of that circle of influence that you have, a family member, a friend. Right, you can. I know right now there are a few that come to mind that you know are interested about Jesus. Will you pursue after them like Jesus did? Will you be praying for them? Teenagers, you have such a wonderful opportunity. You are surrounded by so many friends and classmates. Right, in those relationships, will you take that step to help them know Jesus? I know it's nerve-wracking. But there are so many adults, and I'm one included, that when we reflect back on that time period, we have regret because we missed opportunities to be able to share with our friends about Jesus. And I believe there is an openness among our young people that we have not seen in a long, long time. All throughout our country, with pastors I talk about, the stuff I see online, there is this openness to hear about Jesus. And so let us take opportunity and pursue them and to share what Jesus has done for us and how he has transformed our life. And then lastly, if you are in that spiritually curious phase, what is keeping you from crossing the line of faith? For Zacchaeus, it could have been his wealth. What is so interesting is right before this story with Zacchaeus and Jesus, there's another story of a wealthy individual. It's called the story of the rich young ruler. And in Luke chapter 18, this young guy comes to Jesus and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus responds. He says, "Have you kept the commandments? Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal." He says, "Have you kept this?" And this young guy says, "Yes, I have kept all this from my youth." And here's what's fascinating. Jesus does not disagree with him, because this guy has kept it. He's a good moral man. And then Jesus says this to him. And we're told this in the Gospel of Mark, which provides a little more insight into this story. We're told that Jesus looked at him, and because Jesus loved him, said this, "You still lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute it to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." And in Luke chapter 18, verse 23, it says this, "After he, the rich young ruler, had heard this, he went away extremely sad," not happy, "extremely sad because he had much wealth." Now again, the focus is not so much on our money, though that can be a hindrance. The issue for myself and for you is that when we make that decision or not to follow Jesus, to cross that line of faith and follow Christ, the question for us is, what do we need to surrender? That guy needed to surrender his wealth. And we have to ask ourselves, what are we holding on to? What are we not willing to surrender to cross that line of faith and put our trust in Jesus? You know, there are some people, the reason they are hesitant to follow Jesus is because they ask this, "What do I have to give up?" And what they mean is, there a certain relationship that has to end? Do I have to spend my money differently? Is there a part of my life that I will lose control of? But that question of what will I lose is the wrong question. The better question is, what will you gain? What will you gain? And what you gain is so much more than what we supposedly lose. Zacchaeus had been driven by money. He had been driven to succeed, but yet he was left unsatisfied. He was restless in his soul and in his heart. But now that he met Jesus, his life had been transformed. He had been forgiven. He had been accepted by Jesus. All right, don't you think he wanted to be accepted by people? And he never got that because of who he was. But now he's been accepted by Jesus. And Zacchaeus has received a joy and a hope and a satisfaction that he had never experienced before. This one who was spiritually curious, who had this longing in his heart, he has now been satisfied by Jesus Christ. He went from spiritually curious. He made that decision to cross that line of faith and put his trust in Jesus, and his life was never the same. And he never looked back. His life was transformed. And I imagine he looked back at that moment throughout the rest of his life and praised the Lord that Jesus sought after him. And so if you are in that spiritual curious phase, if you are seeking after Jesus, I want you to know that the Lord is also seeking after you. What will you surrender? What will you lay down to pursue him and make that decision to give your life to Christ? Would you please bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? I want to give us just a few moments to reflect. If you're in that spiritually curious stage, I would encourage you, keep seeking after Jesus. Jesus loves those who are spiritually curious. And as a church, so do we. So keep asking those questions, keep seeking. But maybe for you, you are in that spiritually curious stage and in the midst of this crowd, very similar to Zacchaeus, surrounded by people, you can sense Jesus seeking after you. Do you sense that? Right? Is there just a tension maybe in your heart? Pushing back a little bit? Would you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if that is you, the way that you have faith in Christ is to admit, yes, I'm a sinner, that I need a Savior, that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that he is alive today. And when you put your trust and reliance in who Jesus is and not on your own effort, believe in who Christ is, that he is the Son of God, you will be saved. And if that is you, we would love to talk with you in this time of invitation or after the service. And for those of us that are followers of Jesus, let us have that heart to help people find and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. A challenge I have for you is to think of one person in your circle of influence Right? Think of them right now. Look at their face and say, I am going to be committed up until Easter to pray for them. And as opportunity arises, I'm going to share my story. I'm going to invite them to church. And we may be surprised how the Lord moves and works in that to bring those who are lost to saving faith in Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this passage. Lord, we thank You that You seek and save the lost. Lord, You seek after us. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your amazing grace. We thank You that You went to the cross for us and that, Lord, You are alive today. Lord, we praise You and we ask all in Your name. Amen.